Good morning, praise the Lord. Bishop Ed Akers here with my 945 Live for this coming week to give you a jump start on your week and to help you get in faith as you go into a new week. So praise God. It's good to be back in the office, back in my little mini studio here, sharing with you today on this great Sunday morning. The Lord's Day, the day that we gather together to worship God, to refuel and reignite and reinvigorate our heart to serve Him throughout the week. Hope your week's been wonderful and that you're expecting God to do great things in your life, for He is a good God. Amen. He is great and greatly to be praised in all things. And so I'm excited to be back on live today. It's been 3 weeks since I've been live. I did come to you live a little bit last week from Honduras. I was in the city of Yoro City in the state of Yoro in Honduras for my very first time there. And I must say I had a wonderful time and great people. Loving people, wonderful, hospitable people. And we had a wonderful time with the people in Honduras. Looking forward to a great relationship with Pastor Alex Nalesco, his wife Reina, and other people that we got to meet there. And so we're just very thrilled and excited for a new opportunity around the world, in the world, for us to become partners with other people where God is moving. Don't let anyone ever tell you that God is dead or that God isn't moving. He's moving right here where we live, but He's also moving around the world, and we're seeing it in pronounced ways. So I wanted to come today and give you an update about what happened in Honduras. And maybe you saw it live. They did broadcast the crusade service live, and we had people watching here from the church, and it was very, very great to be able to connect that way. But I want to kind of give you a synopsis of what I experienced. It's great for me to have a front seat of what God does. I've got the microphone in my hand, or I'm participating on the platform, but I'm a spectator as much as anything else. I'm God's biggest fan. And when I am there and I'm watching what's happening, it still brings an awesomeness to my heart to know how God is, how powerful God is, how merciful God is, how great God is. And it renews my hope that until the day He takes me home or He comes back, He's going to continue to work. And allowing me to be a part of what He's doing is a great blessing for me. And so we went there on a very short trip. It was shortest, the quickest one I've ever gone on as far as getting there and getting home. That's a blessing. Everywhere we've ever ministered has been on the other side of the globe, taking sometimes several days to arrive. So to be able to get there in 8 or 9 hours altogether was a real blessing. And we were a part of an 18-city collective, a vision that came out of an apostle in San Pedro Sula with a church of about 18,000 people. And he had this vision a couple years ago of every capital city in the various districts or states of Honduras having a crusade on the same exact night at the same exact time. And so that's what we were invited to participate in. This was definitely not our vision. This was the vision of the people there in Honduras. But we said yes, and God stirred our hearts to adopt one of the cities and sponsor it. And so we sponsored Yoro City in the state of Yoro, and found some great similarities between Yoro, the name Yoro, and Ohio, and other connections that really let us know that God had put us in the right place. The team there on the ground with Pastor Alex Nalesco and his team coordinating all the efforts to bring people from various 40 villages and 15 towns and cities around the Yoro district by buses, and to coordinate this gigantic endeavor in a large former airstrip that had been abandoned years ago. They did an excellent job. They had prayed and had intercession, lots of spiritual preparation as well as the physical. You know, that's really important in anything you do in life, is the spiritual dynamic of it. I'd love to go to pastors' gatherings and conferences again and hear them talk about prayer and intercession as much as they do about techniques on how to get people to come to church. We need a revival within the American church of leadership doing things spiritually and biblically first. And I see a lot of that beginning to happen again too. God is faithful to His people, and He's faithful to Himself, and He will always move on the earth. Well, the crusade went powerful. We estimate over 18,000 people came from those various regions. Buses kept coming all through the night. We started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, ended about quarter of 9, so it was almost a 5-hour endeavor. There was dozens of churches represented there, many worship teams. There was a lot of worship, a lot of intercessory prayer, a lot of people going to the platform and praying. Several hours as people continued to gather, and even while I was ministering and preaching and praying for the sick, buses continued to drive up and people unload. And so it was just ongoing swell of the crowd coming to hear what God was doing, just maybe just curiosity, maybe they were hungry for something to happen in their life. And so at the end of the, there's some things I just want to thank God for that happened. First of all, with the help of the deacons of these various churches and the crew on the ground, there's an estimate of just a little over 5,000 salvations that people indicated they received Jesus Christ. Praise God, 5,000 out of 18,000, that's almost one third of the people present made a commitment to Jesus Christ or recommitment, whatever you want to call it. I'm excited about that, first of all. That's the greatest miracle of all. In fact, we had a 78-year-old man come to the stage who has suffered from insomnia and what he called an attack by a dark spirit at night. And he was unable to sleep. And before I prayed for him, believing God would heal him, and I'm hoping to hear a good report about it if I can hear back from him. But I prayed, and before I did, the Lord said, ask him if he's ever received me as his Savior, if he's ever became a Christian. And at 78 years old, he said he never has ever accepted Christ. So I asked him, do you want to? Sometimes we just ask people, do you want to receive Jesus? It's amazing how many of them will say yes. He said yes. And so in front of 18,000 people, a 78-year-old man gave his life to Jesus Christ for the first time. If that's the only reason I went to Honduras was to be a part of that and watch that, it's worth the whole trip. But there's so much more. One of the most profound miracles that I really enjoyed watching and being a part of was praying for a 4-year-old little girl whose left leg was about, it was her right leg, was about half, 2.5 inches shorter than the other, and her foot was in a downward flex position and stiff, could not move it. She could not walk on these legs. She kind of hopped and her mom was helping her around. I remember the name. Mom's name is Donna and the little girl's name is Haiti. But we put her in a chair and prayed for her together, and her leg kind of moved and her foot kind of relaxed, but still was having those same difficulties. We sat her back in the chair again and prayed, and within a couple of minutes of prayer, her little foot relaxed and grew out equal in length to the other. Now, I know we've seen that happen in adults, and there's all kinds of, did it really happen, didn't it really happen? This little girl, legs were the same length, and she walked, and her feet were both functional. Praise God. That was a great miracle. You know, I had a young man come to the stage that could not hear, and I was testing him. I was standing behind him, saying words, clicking my fingers, no reaction. We prayed, tried it again, still no reaction. See, when we pray for the sick, we always test it in front of everyone. Nothing to hide. I'm not healing anyone. Jesus Christ is. And if a healing is going to take place, he's going to get all the credit for it. And if we don't see it in front of us, we're believing God is still under work and it's going to happen. But you know, after the second or third prayer, we tested again and he began to react. And he said he had never spoken. The people with him said he couldn't speak. But he said a few very fundamental words after I began to talk to him a little distance, backed up a little bit more. And praise God, his smile came on his face, and asked him as well, did he ever receive Jesus? And he indicated he hadn't, and we led him to Christ as well. And he witnessed to us that now he could say a word or two and he could hear. Praise God, the deaf will hear and the mute will speak. And we saw that as well. There's so many more. There was a man with severe blurred vision, almost blind, completely blind in one eye, very blurry in the other, and God cleared both eyes up and he could see. Woman with severe leg and back pain to a debilitation spot in her life, brought up by a wheelchair to the stairs, brought on the stage, and she began to dance around free of pain, free of any problems at her leg and back. Woman with a goiter that was prayed for by our team did not come to the stage, but this testimony came later. And she had a pretty good size mass goiter on one side of her neck, and after prayer, it began to shrink and shrink till it was almost completely gone. Praise God for that as well. Amen. We had a young woman who testified that after prayer, she had severe depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and all of that lifted off of her during prayer. Praise God for that. Woman with stabbing pain in her belly was free of pain after prayer. Once again, praise God for the lack of pain. There was a baby coughing up blood with a very high fever. After some prayer, the baby began to move around more normally. Just the palpitation in our hand, the hands, the fever had been reduced. And there were doctors there doing some checks for us as well. And the baby was much better after prayer. Many of these testimonies were yet to hear. We're hearing people the next day that they have normal blood pressures. They have symptoms that they had before that are gone. This is all kind of drifting into us. In the middle of one thing that was very, could have been alarming, but it's not alarming to me because I don't totally unexpected. I kind of expect something to happen. Several times the last year or two, we have had multiple witch doctors, workers of dark magic, Wiccas, Wiccans, male witches, but in other countries known as witch doctors, who actually practice the dark arts of trying to use stones and crystals and spells to heal people or to help them. In fact, they're introducing demonic forces. Now, some of you in America and West, you're not believing, oh, demonic forces, here we go, a bunch of, you know, weird stuff. Well, that's the greatest trick the devil's used on America and on people in the West, is to make everybody think that he's not active. There is a demons world running around in the spirit realm. It's binding nations and people under its spells of sin and evil. So in the middle of giving everyone the testimony of the two witch doctors that I know of personally that have been set free, one who is studying for the ministry now, in the middle of that testimony, a man jumped up on the stage and was ready to hit me in the face. I turned around and there he was. I'm going to show the video at some point once we get it cut down where we want it and can show it to you. Instantly, I saw that he was wanting to attack me. And it happened so quickly, nobody could get there. And I laid my hands on his chest. I said, in the name of Jesus. And he began to back up. And he's pointing his finger at me and he's making some sort of threats, and I can sense that. And our team take him off to the side and pray for him. Now, he never would relinquish and went home after much prayer. But around him were people, several intoxicated individuals, and on alcohol probably, or drugs, and they were kind of causing a ruckus. And with prayer, even over him, the report came to me that these intoxicated individuals became sober and testified as such and exhibited the signs of soberness and gave their life to Jesus Christ, and the next day sought out somebody they knew that was part of the crusade team and witnessed and testified to this as well. But right in the middle of talking about witchcraft and saying that Jesus is Lord, a man jumps up on the stage to attack me. And praise God, no attack happened. Praise God, there was no weapons that we know of on him or in his hands. But it agitated the enemy. I'm believing still for that man's deliverance and salvation. I don't hate him. I thank God that he got to hear the gospel and that the devil got put on notice. A lot more I could talk about. I just want you to know that what happens on these mission fields, I want you to know two things, please. Number one, you can see the same impact on your daily life. The same Jesus, the same Spirit, the same God, the same Bible is the same one that works for us. Just like the miracle that happened when we first arrived at the venue. It's very hot in Honduras. It was 95 when we got there, 96, 97. The sun was blasting. Just minutes before we got there, clouds began to roll over from the mountains. And the breeze began to blow. Cooled everything down by about 10 degrees. Made that day much more tolerable. I still believe that was an answer to my prayer, that God made that day a little more comfortable for everybody involved. You may think that's silly, but I think God does things like that for us because God is involved with what we're doing and we're there serving him. But you can see this stuff in your life. So number one, you can see it. Number two, this is not possible without first the Lord promising us he'd provide. And two, the people of you that he sends into our life, those of you he sends into our life, that we know this would not be possible without your financial support. Our regular budget covered the majority of the cost of this crusade, which was substantial. And I'm thankful that Victorious Living Church, Church of the Harvest, Fire City Church, Word of Life Christian Center in Farmington, New Mexico, and several other churches are now supporting. Also, those that are partners with us, our 51,000 partners, we have 42 of you who promised $1,000 this year over the course of the year. And you give regularly, some of you have already given it. You make this possible. 5,000 plus people are now in the kingdom of heaven because of your support, just on this crusade. And we got another one coming up in Pakistan in September. But praise God for your support, your love, and your prayers, which makes all this possible. Well, may God keep you. I love this verse in Luke chapter 4, verses 18, 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's great favor. That's what we do. We're driven by it every single day. May your life be driven by it as well. God bless you. Go to victoriouslivinginternational.com to learn more, or on our Facebook pages at Victorious Living International / Ed Akers Ministries, or my personal page, Ed Akers. Also, you can go to vlcc.tv to learn more about the church. And today, we're starting a new series about living life on mission. That's what we're all about here. Well, God bless you. Praise God for you. May you have a great week. Remember these words from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll see you next week.